Good morning. Let us start in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for bringing us to Sunday school this morning. We thank Thee for the good weather. We pray that many will come, listen to Thy word, and be transformed in their life by Thy word. We praise Thee, Lord, for taking care of us through the week. Many of us are still ill and sick. We pray for Thy healing hands upon them, that they will recover swiftly, praising Thee and glorifying Thee. For Thou art the master physician and the great surgeon. So we ask, Lord, that today as we study Thy word on God's provision for manna, that we will learn precious lessons from Thee. Forgive us our sins. We come before Thee, that Thou will use us mightily to Thy praise and glory, and that Thou will delight in us. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we are on lesson 9, Exodus 16. Background. The Israelites set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. And if you recall, in Elim, and just before that at Mara, the Israelites were out of water for 3 days, and they were very thirsty. They complained to Moses that there is no water, and Moses looked up to God. They came to this place called Mara, and there was a lake, and the lake was filled with bitter water. And God turned the bitter water to sweet water. And then they move on to Elim. In Elim, it was a place of rest where there were palm trees and spring water. And then from Elim, they moved out again to the desert of Sin. And so now we'll watch a video about them complaining again. The Israelites said there was lack of food. And ask again, accusing Moses of bringing them out to the wilderness to die. They rather die in Egypt, where there are pots of meat and they can eat bread to their full, than to die in the wilderness hungry. So, watch the movie. Why did the Israelites complain and how did God satisfy them? Let's watch the movie.
Chapter 16. They took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said to them, "We wish that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots where we ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from the sky for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. It shall come to pass on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening, then you shall know that Yahweh has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you will see the glory of God, because he hears your murmuring against Yahweh. Who are we that you murmur against us?" Moses said, "Now Yahweh shall give you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to satisfy you, because Yahweh hears your murmurings which you murmur against him. And who are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh." Moses said to Aaron, "Tell all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yahweh, for he has heard your murmurings." It happened as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, 'At evening you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your God.'" It happened at evening that quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around the camp. When the dew that lay had gone, behold, on the surface of the wilderness was a small round thing, small as the frost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "What is it?" For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread which Yahweh has given you to eat. This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it everyone according to his eating, an omer a head according to the number of your persons. You shall take it, every man for those who are in his tent." The children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. When they measured it with an omer, he who gathered much had nothing over, and he who gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said to them, "Let no one leave of it until the morning." Notwithstanding, they didn't listen to Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, everyone according to his eating. When the sun grew hot, it melted. It happened that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. He said to them, "This is that which Yahweh has spoken. Tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake that which you want to bake, and boil that which you want to boil. And all that remains over, lay up for yourselves to be kept until the morning." They laid it up until the morning, as Moses asked, and it didn't become foul, neither was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day it is the Sabbath. In it there shall be none." It happened on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. Yahweh said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Behold, because Yahweh has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Everyone stay in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Moses said, "This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread of which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna in it, and lay it up before Yahweh to be kept throughout your generations." As Yahweh commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. The children of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah.
All right, so why did the Israelites complain and how did God satisfy them? The Israelites complained because they say they lack meat. They have not enough meat. And so God satisfied them with providing bread from heaven every morning. They call it manna. Evening, God provided meat in the form of birds called quails. So let's see where they were on the map. Right, so you can see on the map, right at the top, they moved to a place called Pi-ha-ra, right at the top there. And then they crossed the Red Sea at the north, and then they moved down to Mara, where they came across bitter water in the lake, and God turned the bitter water into sweet water, and Elim. Just a short way after Mara, they had replenishment and comfort in the shade of the palm trees and spring water. And so now they have left Elim, and they're moving southeast in the wilderness of Sin. When they again complained to Moses that Moses brought them out to the wilderness to die, they would rather die in Egypt where their stomachs are full with meat and bread eat as much as they like, and they die happily. Why has God brought them out to the wilderness to die? That's their complaint to Moses. Yeah? And of course, Moses went to God, and God then brought manna in the morning and quails for meat in the evening to satisfy their hunger. And so they were en route down southeast to Mount Sinai, yeah, where God will give them further instructions. And most importantly, the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Let me just skip all this because you have seen the video. Right. So the scripture has it in Exodus 16, 1 to 3. Let me read to you, Exodus 16, 1 to 3. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. So from Elim, they came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we have died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. I wish God has left us to die in the land of Egypt, they say. When we have sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full in Egypt, we have lots of meat. We have lots of food and bread. But you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's what the Israelites accused Moses of, and also accusing God. Yeah. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So God says, all right, I will bring bread from heaven every day, certain amount, and I will test them. Yeah. So despite the complaints, God still fed the Israelites meat in the evening, bread in the morning. And despite their very ungrateful complaint, you read. Let me read to you verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God, we wish to God had killed us in the land of Egypt. At least over there we have pots of flesh, pots of meat. And there we have bread to the full. We can eat as much bread as we want. But you have brought us into the wilderness to kill all of us with hunger. Can you imagine? After they just have come out from Mara, God turned the bitter water to sweet water for them to drink. You know? And before that, God led them across the Red Sea to dry land. After all that God had done for them, they said this of God, We wish God had left us to die in Egypt. At least we were full there. Now you have led us out to kill us in the wilderness. Kill us by hunger. And then God was patient and merciful. He did not destroy all of them immediately, these ungrateful people. He sent quails in the evening, providing meat and manna, heavenly bread, in the morning. Exodus 16, 11 to 15. And the manna were to be gathered each day as much as each one needed. That's what God told the Israelites. You gather as much as you need. Take an omer, about 2 quarts, for each person. What is an omer, which is roughly 2 quarts? You look at this container, it is 2 quarts. Yeah? And 2 quarts is the equivalent of 8 cups of omer. And that is to satisfy for one day's meal for one person. That's quite a lot. You look at the container. The handle is to hold by the palm of a hand, and the rest of the container is about 2 palm size down. And that is to satisfy one day. Yeah? Not only the manna for one day, but also every day there is quails in the evening for them to eat. So it's sufficient. Yeah? Yeah. So God was merciful and good to them. But manna was not to be stored till the following morning, God told them. Some stored till the next morning and it turned bad. So you saw in the video just now that the manna, when they stored till the next morning, it started to grow worms. And the spiritual lesson here is the Israelites are to learn to trust God for each day's provision and obtain provision according to God's instruction. God will provide their daily bread. So they are not to save some for tomorrow. God says, don't do that, because I will provide manna for you every morning. Don't save for the next morning. The manna will turn bad. So it is a lesson to learn in trusting God. Yeah? For the Israelites. Yeah? But on the sixth day, they were together for 2 days' needs for manna. On the sixth day is the day before the Sabbath. Sabbath, God wants the Israelites to keep Sabbath holy. There was not to be any collection in the field for manna. Yeah? But some still went out on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, to collect manna, and they found none. Okay? So what is the spiritual lesson here? Some did not trust God to provide the daily manna. They resorted to saving manna for the next day. And they resorted to collecting manna on the Sabbath day. Yes? So the question is, why didn't they trust God? Yeah. They have just come from Elim, where there were springs and palm trees, fresh water from the springs. And also they were provided with turning of the water from bitter to sweet water in Marah. And before that, they saw God's power in rescuing them from the Egyptians across the Red Sea and destroying the whole Egyptian army. So all this shows that God was with them. And they can see the presence of God every moment as they move. They see the pillar of cloud in front of them, leading them onwards. And even at night, they see the presence of God in the pillar of fire, providing light for them. But yet, they didn't trust God. And they went to collect manna on the Sabbath day, when God explicitly told them not to do so. They are supposed to collect 2 days' share on the day before Sabbath. So they don't collect on the Sabbath. And at the same time, they are not supposed to save the manna for the next day. God will provide for the next day's manna. Trust God. That's what God told them. But they didn't trust. Why? Reasons. Fear. What if God didn't provide the next day's manna? I've got children. They need food. We have no food if we don't save manna for the next day. What if? So, they were fearful. Same thing as on Sunday, on the Sabbath, rather. They went out to collect. They wanted more, to feel safe, to feel they are in control of ready food in their storehouse, ready manna in their room. They want security. They feel more secure if the manna is with them for a few days, etc., etc. So it's a lot of fear, a lot of lack of, but they feel, and they feel that this control and this security will overcome the fear. How does it apply to us? We too have fear in one control and one security. Our fears are, is our savings enough for retirement? Some of us are retired, like myself. Is my saving enough to go on for the next 20 years? Hopefully I live for another 20 years. Is it enough? Do I have to take up some ad hoc work in between to tie me through? Will I be in good health and strength? These are real fears that we face. Yeah? And what if I need more next year, year after next? I'm sick. I need more funds for my doctors, for my consultation, for my medicine, for my hospitalization. I need more. Better get more now, where I can still do so. Right? Our fear is real. So if we put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites, we understand their fears. So due to our fear, we seek control and security. What if? Better get more wealth and properties. That is a good hedge against all the fear. With our wealth, we can buy, we can pay for our medicine, our hospitalization. We can buy more material needs. So we are much like the Israelites, seeking more manna. But God's lesson to the Israelite was to trust God for daily manna, explicitly told to the Israelites. Trust God for daily manna. You are not to save the manna for the next day. So in the same way, we have to trust God for our needs. And that we find it difficult, I'm sure. I find it difficult. I'm human. I have my worries. I have my cares. I think of the future. And through my life, I've learned to save for the future. We have all taught to save, to be prudent. But we have to trust God in many things. Not just savings that we need for the future, health and strength, savings, good working environment. Many of us are still working. Good bosses, colleagues, clients, good jobs, peace in the family and country. And many of these things like peace, money can't buy. In a family, sometimes you don't get along with people. Riches can't purchase relationship in the family. Good support and love from family and friends. Many others. Amassing wealth and properties will not ensure the above. Yeah? So we need to trust God with many of these things, which is not purchasable with wealth and property. When the Israelites did not trust God by collecting more manna, God reprimanded them. How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? Let me just read to you. Verse 28. Starting with verse 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found none. Seventh day, some of the Israelites went out together manna, when they were told explicitly by God not to do so, to keep the Sabbath holy. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law? That is important. Because God gave them a commandment and laws, instructions, and they did not obey the commandments and instructions by going out to collect manna on the Sabbath. We also have to keep God's commandments and instructions by obeying God's word, not to work on the Lord's day, except for works of mercy and necessity. Yeah, we keep the Lord's day holy. Many of you are here this morning to worship the Lord, keep it holy. And of course, there are works of mercy and necessity, like doctors got to be around to treat patients in the hospitals and in clinics. And you've got nurses who have to look after patients. And you've got those in charge of transportation. They have to work to ensure that we are here, taking a bus or taking the MRT or taxi. Works of mercy and necessity, yeah, for the Lord's day. To remember how God has provided for our needs in the past. In His will and timing, He will also provide our future needs. So this is important, yeah. We have to remember the past, how God has been faithful to us. This will help us to continue to trust God as we go forward. Not to depend on material possession as our security, but to depend on God. Our wealth comes from God. Yeah. So, the question here is, what is the lesson that we have from God this morning? Is God telling us not to save for tomorrow? Because God told the Israelites, don't save your manna for tomorrow. I will provide tomorrow. Don't pick manna on Sunday for the next day or the following day saving. Because you are supposed to pick the double share on the sixth day. What is God's lesson for us? We have always been told that saving is good. We save for a rainy day. We save. We stock up. COVID-19 stock up. We learn from many precious lessons of stocking up. When there is COVID, there may be a lockdown, and the supermarkets and the markets will all be locked down. We can't buy food. Better stock up. Sardines at home. Lots of toilet paper at home. Yeah. And so we are a prudent people. Yeah. And that is how we have got so far as a country. We save a lot. Even our government is a saving government. Yeah. Lots of CPF savings in the CPF. So what is God trying to tell us here? The Israelites, they would have felt the same. What? Am I not able to save some for tomorrow? My manna? That is a prudent thing to do. But God said, no, don't save for tomorrow. I will provide. So what is God telling the Israelites? Don't save. It cannot be. God is telling the Israelites and us, trust and obey. Trust and obey. trust in God, even though it may not sound logical to us, trust in Him and obey Him to carry out that which seemingly not safe, not secure. And God will provide what He says. He's a faithful God. Trust and obey in God. So, friends, today's lesson is not about emptying all your savings today, spend it. God will provide for tomorrow. No, it's not that, right? It's when God tells us explicitly to do certain things, we do it. We trust God and we obey God to do it. Although, humanly speaking, it may not seem wise, like what I shared earlier on. It may not seem wise. The wise thing is to save what you can't finish today for tomorrow and subsequent days. Humanly speaking, that's a wise thing to do. But our God is not a God of human wisdom. Our God is almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He sees the future. He knows what's coming ahead of us. And all things, all events are under His sovereign control. And He's teaching the Israelites this one thing: trust and obey. Even though it seems to the Israelites not safe, not prudent, but God wants them to trust and obey God. So God came up with this test. Do you dare to trust God for His word, upon His word alone, that He will provide daily manna? Obviously, many Israelites didn't. They are like you and I. As practical, experienced human beings who have lived so many years on this planet, we know better. Yeah? And so, the Israelites failed the test. They did not learn to trust and obey. So what's important for us today is we have to learn this precious lesson from God, to take His word for what He will say to us. It is not easy. We think sometimes it's not safe. But God has shown us to be wrong many times in the past. He has helped us overcome many problems. Our health, trouble at work, trouble in the family, given us peace, directed us in the way that we should go forward. And we thank God and praise God for this. So let me move on and perhaps give us a global view of what has happened in the various places the Israelites have visited. They started at Pi Hahiroth, where they crossed the Red Sea. And then at Pi Hahiroth, they complained that Moses had brought them out to the wilderness to die. Why? Egyptians are pursuing behind. In front of them, the Red Sea. They're either drowned or they're killed by the Egyptians. Yeah, they were hemmed in between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And then God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross safely destroyed the Egyptian army when they crossed the Red Sea. Lesson for us, when we are in a difficult situation, God is in control. God will hear the cry of the righteous and deliver us. Yes? So, after they have crossed the Red Sea, they were amazed at God's power and help for them. And they move on, praising and thanking God that God has saved them from the Egyptians. 3 days of no water following Pihahiroth. They came to this place, Marah, and there was bitter water. And they accused Moses. There's no water. God turned the bitter water to sweet water. Yeah. And then after that, they moved on to Elim. God led them to rest in Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. So God, after all that tests and trials, tribulations at the Red Sea, at Marah, brought them to a place of rest at Elim, where there were palm trees and spring water. Yeah? So God is merciful and patient. That's despite all their grumblings. Grumbling at Pihahiroth, grumbling at Marah. God gave them rest in Elim. Now they are in the desert of sin. Moved out of Elim, they moved into the desert of sin. Not enough food. No meat. Moses, you brought us to the wilderness to die. We have no meat. At least we die with a belly full in Egypt. God brought manna in the morning, quail in the evening. Israelites have little trust in God. So are we guilty of little trust. God told them, don't collect manna on the Sabbath. Don't save the manna for the next day. God will provide. Testing whether they will obey and trust in God. Yeah? But they didn't obey, didn't trust. And we can identify with them because we are quite similar. It just doesn't make sense, right? Sensible people like all of us here, if you can't finish your food, save it for tomorrow. It's a prudent thing to do. The wise thing to do. You don't just throw them away, throw the food away. It's wasteful. But in that case, God has already given an explicit command. Don't save the food. I will provide daily for your breakfast. Trust me. Obey me. But they trust their own human wisdom. So naturally, when they save it for the next morning, the manna turned bad. When they go out to collect on Sabbath, for the days to come after Sabbath, there was no manna to be collected on Sabbath. So this lesson is a lesson on trust and obey. When God tells us an explicit command, we must trust what God says. Don't try to reason and rationalize with God. Oh, I believe I'm right here not to obey because blah, 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 blah. Because something, something, something. There's no because. When God gives an explicit command, obey and trust. This is what happened to them. They gave a because. I'm wiser. I'm smarter. What if I'm sick tomorrow and I can't go out to collect manna? What if? Can't I just save a bit for tomorrow? Just in case? In case? Right? So, a lesson for us on trust and obey. Right, I will stop here. Let us close in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee today for Thy goodness to us, teaching us valuable lessons. Teach us to trust and obey. Not easy, but it is Thy command for us. And teach us to obey, knowing that You are an ever-faithful God, and that Thou will have Thy goodness for us, whatever the circumstances and events, to trust and obey in You. Teach us to learn from the Israelites and Thy dealing with the Israelites. We thank Thee how in the past, despite our lack of faith, lack of trust and obedience, Thou hast not cast us out, but Thou hast continued to love us and care for us. So we come before Thee, seeking Thy delight in us, Thy forgiveness, Thy love and care. Because we are Thy sheep, and Thou art great shepherd. Protect us, shield us, and heal us of all our diseases and illness. Help us, Lord, when we get into trouble. Look after us. Grant us good health and strength and peace. We seek all these, not that we are good or merit all Thy help, but because Thou art good. Thou art our loving Heavenly Father, and Thou will surely take care of Thy children, and we are Thy children. Forgive us, Lord, Thy children's misbehavior, misconduct. For Thou knowest we are made of flesh and blood, and we always go astray. But Thou art ever mercy, loving and caring. And we thank Thee and praise Thee for all Thy goodness to us, that we will learn to trust and obey Thee always, and Thou will delight in us, and we will delight in Thee always. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.